from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I heard a little bit of Deion Sanders' post-game press conference last night.
Who'd he call out last night?
Well, he didn't call anybody out, but... You know how the game ended, right?
Yeah, I watched the ending.
They were up by five, and North Dakota State threw. I mean, the kid threw as far as he could possibly throw, which showed you why he was an FCS quarterback, because he only threw it about 40 yards. But it was a Hail Mary that was caught on about the 4-yard line. But Colorado tackled the kid, so he didn't score. But
Paul, I didn't want to watch a lot of this game. Now, see what you think of this opinion, because I'm going to Penn State, West Virginia tomorrow. I want that game to be like the first college football game that I watch. It's like, oh, it's back, instead of watching last night's game. Does that make any sense in your mind?
I like that a lot, actually.
So I only watched like the last 2 minutes of the Colorado game.
But anyway, Deion Sanders said that he was very angry. He was upset.
Some expletives that he cannot say on TV.
He says, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about what, but I guess we got the dub, so I'm happy. But I'm not happy. Of course, then he had to drop in. There were 31 NFL scouts here, and they all got to see what they wanted to see, meaning his son and the Hunter kid, or whatever his name is.
Travis Hunter. Yeah. He's incredible.
His son and the Hunter kid. That kid's not going to make it through the season again this year. He played, I think they had a total of, I was looking it up before, I think they had a total of like 130 snaps in that game, and he played 128 of them.
He's the preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
And he had over 100 yards receiving last night.
But that's what I mean.
And what, do you have two touchdowns?
Yeah, I mean, listen. The kid is unbelievable, okay? And he's going to be a top pick or whatever, you know, in the draft. I get all that. But I'm sorry, you know. When you look at how many snaps he plays, I mean, how realistic is it for him to continue to play 120, 125 snaps? Especially, I think, like next week they play Nebraska, right? So I'm assuming it'll be in the afternoon, it'll be hot. I mean, how realistic is that going to be?
Yeah, it's like he's a very good two-way player in high school, except he's getting hit a lot harder, and it's a lot more physical of a game and a tougher game.
I'm just saying, it's crazy. I mean, so Colorado had... If you do the math, Colorado had, 58 plays? Something like that, 58 plays. And North Dakota State had very similar, 57, 58 plays. And we're talking about 120 plays in a game. Anyway, do we have Mike?
We got him.
All right, let's get the mic. Mike Casazza, by the way. By the way, Ray Fittipaldi was brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers, 7 locations in the Pittsburgh region. And they take your personal injury case personally, LGKG.com. The fan hotline, which is where we have Mike Casazza, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike, you've covered college football for a long, long time. Do you ever wish you got a chance to cover the Deion Sanders show up close and personal?
Well, I work for CBS, so I'm not sure I'm allowed to. So I don't know. We'd have to hash that one out. But I like the story, Paul, and I want an A or an F, and I feel like there's no C+ in Boulder, right?
Right.
You're gonna get full Deion one way or the other. And that would be a heck of a ride. And actually, our 24/7 site is never been as alive as it is right now in Boulder, and it's been like that for a year or two. But you know the funny thing is about Hunter, everything you just said is right about him. They don't beat an FCS team last night without him playing as much and as well as he did. Like, that's like, they're talented for sure, but like, that guy's that good, and if he plays minimal snaps on offense or just like a little bit, like a, you know, like kind of like a novelty, they'll win that game. He had 3 touchdown catches last night. They kind of need him to do that. So it's a necessary evil. Because imagine if they lose an FCS game last night, even though North Dakota State's pretty darn good, the heat would be really up on him, and I'm not sure how he'd handle that.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's really here's the thing that I think people didn't realize last year, and it looks to me like it's the same issue this year. I could be wrong. But Deion's kid, the quarterback, Hunter, and Joe Horn's kid are basically going to drag that team to more wins than they probably should have. I mean, I think the rest of the team is kind of average.
It's kind of hard to blend in, like, I don't know, what is it, 60-plus players? I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you find 60 good ones. It's hard for teams to do that over a course of a 4 or 5 year recruiting cycle. Right. To do that in a 4 or 5 month offseason, good luck. I don't know how you pull that off. But, again, that's why you watch. You're going to get the full Deion, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, Mike's been covering West Virginia for, 20 years now probably, right?
Yeah, too long, man, too long.
I think, I mean, when I was on the Pitt beat back then, you were on the WVU beat, so it had to be about 2004 or 5 you started, right?
My first time full-time was 2007, and I was doing basketball before that. So when they were probably 2004, so like, you know, full-time or like part-time, 21, this will be my 22nd season, I think. Thanks, Paul. It makes you feel really good.
Well, you know, you've seen a lot of big games come and go down there, but tomorrow obviously feels like one of the bigger games that they've had in a long time, doesn't it? And you know, I'm seeing already, we've seen clips of the Pat McAfee show setting up, and there's, you know, thousands of people out there already being, you know, getting ready for it. And we've seen clips of I-79 and, you know, with traffic backed up. I mean, it feels like this is a pretty big a game tomorrow, doesn't it?
Paul, this is like light up night in Pittsburgh. Traffic's amazing. There's a lot of energy here. The opener is always kind of different from a regular season game. And truth be told, like in the Big 12 era, West Virginia has played like 3 games that really, truly matter. And you're talking like November football games where maybe there's a playoff spot or maybe there's a Big 12 championship game spot. And like there was an Oklahoma game back in 2018. That's the last one that was like really kind of like intriguing and important at the same time. And if you go back to like, you know, just historically, if they haven't played a team this good to start a season at home since 1998. You know, they played Alabama and in Atlanta in 2014. They were number 2 or 3 in the country. But to get a team in the top 10, it's a rival, kind of regional. You know, I'm not even sure rival, but like, you know, some of the older people will certainly remember Penn State. This is pretty darn big down here. And then like what's different here, at least in like recent vintages, that the team doesn't stink. And like there actually is like an optimistic outlook at the start of the season, which really hasn't been the case in the Neil Brown era. You know, it took him a couple years to get that Boulder to the top of the hill. And I'm not sure it's there and it goes downhill now, but, you know, he's maybe rolling it over 1 or 2 more times and he's on his way. And that would certainly speed up if he gets this one tomorrow. And the funny thing is, like, you get him at the start of the season, you have a whole summer to prepare for him. You have some advantages, you think, on your personnel, which is kind of a new thing for them. You know, it's certainly there would be stranger things than West Virginia beating Penn State in Morgantown tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1. Or draft pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, that's the thing. I've heard a lot of people that are talking about how they think West Virginia has a real chance. If you look at the betting line, it's come way down. I think that probably suggests that a lot of people that are betting think that way as well. If you were to put your finger on one or two reasons why people are so optimistic about the Mountaineers, what is it?
Home team. That helps, I think, especially – that's a betting thing, too. I think people really kind of simplify it where, okay, home is worth how many points? 2.5, 3.5 points. Start of the season, you don't know who's who. You kind of give that a nod. So from that Vegas perspective, that might explain that. But if you're going, like, win and loss, and can they actually pull this off? Like, I don't know how to break this to people, but, like, West Virginia has a good offense. Like, they have a quarterback now who can do things with his arms and his legs. They have a guy who can make a hand it to who can run around you, and a guy they can hand it to who can run through you. They don't have superstar receivers, but they have, you know, kind of a flock of what they think will be pretty productive ones. They should be able to move the ball and score points if they don't get stuck in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 against that Penn State pass rush, which is always pretty good and should be again this year. And maybe the difference this season is that their defense will not be as leaky, they hope, as it has been, especially in the secondary. They've been okay up front the past couple of years. Last season, more sacks per game and TFLs per game than anybody else in the Big 12, which is important. It's an offensive league. They were just kind of really bad in the back end of the secondary, not consistent, had to play a few people for a lot of snaps. They have some depth this year. They probably get some better transfers. They're going to have to stick the transfer portal again, which they did last year, but they aimed higher and got some better players, and they feel pretty good about being able to cover people and to stick to people in the secondary. If you watch the first game last year against Penn State, they were slow in the secondary. They scored like a 75-yard touchdown on the fourth play from scrimmage, and it wasn't anything exotic. It was just catch and run, and it was too easy for a team like Penn State to do that to West Virginia. They're faster in the secondary this year, and you don't want to put that to the test because you don't want to chase receivers. That's generally not a good thing, but you got to run with them, and if they do get away from you, you got to go get them, and I think they feel better about just being able to keep the lid on things on defense this year, which that would be welcome, especially if they do have a good offense.
If you notice the way that it is, Neil Brown went from early last season to, you know, a guy they wanted to run out of town. If they're indeed as good as you think, I mean, is he going to be a guy that they're going to look back on and say, man, we're glad we didn't pull the trigger and get rid of this guy?
Yeah, he survived one. Like, I thought that he was maybe done after the 2022 season. They fired their athletic director, who gave Brown a weird extension, and it kind of put everything on ice for a while in the athletic department because they were coming out of the pandemic. He gets an extension before that. Finances are all screwed up. You fire the AD, and you're not winning in the football program here. Same story in many major athletic departments. You're in trouble. And then, like, 2 days after, they go out and they just tank it against Kansas State and get blown off the field. And I'm thinking, well, that's probably it, right? You kind of hear taps in the background. And, you know, the hard part is to fire a coach you really like, but he made it easy because they weren't winning, they weren't playing well. And they kind of redesigned things in the offense. And the funny thing is that he bet on himself. You know, he didn't go outside and hire people. He made himself the play caller again. He promoted his running backs coach to offensive coordinator. Some popular moves in the locker room, and they got good last season. Paul, their schedule last year was not great in the Big 12 about who they didn't play. If you look at the standings, not great. And then if you look at the standings this year in the preseason, they play pretty much everybody above them in the preseason standings. That's a big difference from last year. I think a lot of people want to like their progress, but those same people either know that they did not have a great schedule last year and they do this year, or they look close and they say, wait a second, I didn't play anybody last year. They play everybody this year. The results have to come through this year more so than last year because of the quality of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be the question that was the follow-up. I mean, what if he follows up and they go 5-7 this year?
You could probably hear the taps in the background again. Like, this athletic director doesn't mess around. It's a new guy, Ren Baker. He's pragmatic. He's been, I think, maybe redeemed or rewarded in some regard because they did have a good football season last year. Paul, they sold out season tickets this year. That's a big deal, especially when you need finances, but that also means fan support. It's got to be good, though. If it's not good, you're kind of pressing reset, and West Virginia, no school wants to press reset. But just here's the big thing, the big reason that Brown is still here. His processes, his rebuild or whatever, he didn't have to tear it down and start everybody. He did choose to like step back 2, 3, 4 steps and put his plan in place with his vision. And 2022, all right, maybe don't let him go, but boy, that Big 12 come 2024 is a little bit easier to win when you don't have a loss every year to Texas and Oklahoma. And you're not going to have two teams that are, no matter what, better than you on paper because of their talent. And you're going to move in a couple of teams in the American Conference. You're going to move in a couple of teams in the Pac-12 that haven't been great. You have 8 new teams in the league this year, Paul, and I'm not sure how many of them scare you. We look at like Houston, UCF from last year, or like Arizona State and Colorado from this year. They didn't bring in Texas and Oklahoma and Oregon and Washington. They brought in teams that were available but are easier to beat. And if Neil Brown can't do it this year, there's going to be a lot of people who will line up and say, I can do this. And that makes this job attractive because this is a conference where you can really put your stamp on your program by being successful, I think, because it should be like an open and fun, competitive, but winnable conference now in a way it hasn't been in a long time.
Well, that's for sure. You know, obviously you have to cover this game. There's a lot of hype going into it and everything else. Give me, you know, say 2 or 3 key matchups that you think will be the difference between whether the Mountaineers win or whether they lose.
All right, how about an individual one? Penn State moved Abdul Carter, like they're all world linebacker, to defensive end. West Virginia's best player, probably on the team, maybe even on offense, is their left tackle, Wyatt Milam. Milam hasn't allowed a sack in 2 years, 25 straight games, so that'll be huge when it comes to pressure. I would certainly watch for what West Virginia's defense tries to do to Drew Aller, because they feel like they can pressure a little bit more their linebackers in their spur position this year. Can they make that happen? So a little bit of offense pressure against defensive pressure against offensive protection, both sides. And then, Paul, like, just the running games here, I don't know how you get around it. West Virginia's going to do it differently because they have the quarterback and they have 2, maybe 3 running backs. They're going to use receivers in the running game. Just watch for option and triple option. I saw them do this and I got slapped in the wrist for writing about it in the preseason, but they worked on triple option a bunch because they think they have some options to use in the backfield. But Kansas has that darn Andy Kotelnicki offense that spooked West Virginia when he was at Kansas. He's very good at what he does. Somebody's going to hold on to this ball for like 35 minutes in this game and make it very hard for the other team to win. I think you might have to score 30 to win this game, but I think that you're probably going to have the ball for more than 30 minutes, and that is what both these teams like to do. They're both like top 10 time of position teams. That is not the stat that you think about in college football in 2024. It's kind of the way both these teams want to play. Whoever has the ball runs more snaps. It's probably going to win this game, and that'll be, I think that's what tips the scale here a little bit. A lot of stuff about who's going to pressure the passer more. Both teams think they can do it. Handoffs might be a great idea.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you jumping on. I know you're very busy. I know you got to get to the Pat McAfee show, right? And chronicle the crowd and everything else going on, right?
Don't we have a Pittsburgh correspondent for that now?
That's true. Let's send
Kaboom. Yeah, you should be on that one, right?
Let's send Kaboom down there, right?
Make it happen.
All right, brother. Good talking to you. And have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
All right. As Mike Cazzez, after listening to that, Austin, do you have any more faith that West Virginia can pull this off or no?
I think there's a chance that West Virginia can pull it off because they are a team on the rise. I don't think they will because I think the battle in the trenches without Zach Frazier is more favorable to Penn State. And defensively, I think it's more favorable to Penn State. Plus, it's a noon game. If this was a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, man, you're playing country roads in the heart of the night. I like the chances that West Virginia has, and I think that plays a factor. I really do. A lot of people might discount it. I think it matters. But, yeah, I mean, I never have discounted West Virginia at all from that they don't have a chance to win this. They really could. It would not surprise me if they do.
Well, we'll see.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.